This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck and I am your host for this first hour. I want to thank everybody who tunes in during the week on our website and podcast, listening to the daily editorials, as well as all of the company updates, a lot that came out on Wednesday and Thursday this week. Please everyone keep in touch, especially when it comes to companies that you're invested in, that you're interested in. Just send me over the company name, any questions you have, and I will do my best to follow up with that company and get them on the show for a general update. This week, another very interesting week. We had the Fed meeting, which I will discuss and did discuss earlier this week, as well as some pretty wild moves in U.S. equity markets. I'm kicking off this show with Mike Larson. He is the editor of the Safe Money Report. You can also follow Mike on Twitter under the handle @RealMikeLarson. That's a good way to keep up to date with what Mike is writing. Mike, let's start off with the U.S. equity markets. Thursday was a bad day for the markets, the worst day in about 3 months, I believe it was, set up another gap in that daily chart. But Friday, you look at the market action, the markets opened up, and then that rally faded throughout the day. What's your takeaway from this bit of fear that crept into the markets at the end of the week?
Sure. It's been a real interesting trip from euphoria to terror, euphoria to terror. I mean, that's sort of how the market progressed. I mean, you go back to last Friday when the jobs number came out, and, you know, when it first crossed the tape, everybody sort of, you know, their jaw dropped. Like, is that actually job additions? I mean, you know, people were looking for, what, 8 million or so negative, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics said 2.5 million jobs were added. Unemployment was at 13.3 instead of up towards 20, although 3 percentage points of that were basically fake if you add in the way they changed, or they had the methodology, they couldn't survey as many people and so on. But long story short, the market was euphoric on the jobs data. It was all seen as, yay, everything's fine, everything's great, V-shaped recovery, or whatever. And this was followed up by Monday's action where, in all my years of watching the markets, I really can honestly say I've never seen so much buying in companies that are either already broke or are going to file for bankruptcy or are so heavily indebted they're probably going to file for bankruptcy sometime later in the year or 2021. I mean, you know, you had companies like Hertz, which literally is already broke, meaning the shares are absolutely worthless, go from like $1.50 to $6 in a couple of days. I've seen a lot of things in my couple of decades in this business, but that was pretty impressive. I was actually joking to a friend that there's a ticker symbol for an ETF, CHII. It's an Chinese industrial ETF. And I figured that'd be great if that ticker symbol wasn't taken, because I could sponsor an ETF, you know, that looks like Chapter 11 on paper. And instead of owning one worthless company's shares, you could own shares in a bunch of worthless companies to diversify. I mean, it's unbelievable that this stuff is going on. So that was sort of the Monday action. And then all of a sudden, after Chair Powell came out, his message was, don't worry, we're not raising rates. We're not thinking about raising rates. We're not even thinking about thinking of raising rates. And on some level, I think the Fed assumed this would help puff up the markets even more, that it'd be seen as positive. But, you know, as he's talking, as I'm watching the press conference, I'm like, this is actually not going to be good news. This is, and I tweeted it out. I commented to my followers, this is not good. Because basically, the Fed, by saying it will keep interest rates near zero at least through 2022, people know that it's going to be much longer than that. I mean, look at the last down cycle for rates. We kept them pegged in 0% territory for, what, 7 years, 7+ years? So they know that in this case, where the downturn's even more serious than we saw last time, why would they stop at 2 years? It'll be 5 years, 10 years, who knows? The problem is that signals you have a sclerotic economy. You have a non-dynamic economy. You have the same economy as Japan or Europe or, you know, the countries like Denmark and Sweden and so on that basically kept rates at zero and then actually dropped them into negative territory. What does that say to the market? It says buy the heck out of U.S. Treasuries, because even at 1.4 or 1.5% on a 30-year bond, chances are if rates on the short end stay at or near zero, the yield on the 30 and the yield on the 10 is going to collapse towards zero. So you can actually make a capital gain if you buy a bond at 1.5 and it ultimately goes to zero. So you see people buying the heck out of Treasuries. You also see them selling the heck out of financials, because what is a flat curve or ultra-low rates for an ultra-long time, what does that do for lending activity? What does it do for bank margins? It's terrible. I mean, if you look at the bank stocks in Japan or the bank stocks in Europe, a lot of them trade here in the U.S. as ADRs. You can trade them on the U.S. markets. They've languished for years. They've gone nowhere. They've given up the entire bull market from 2009, the entire gains they racked up earlier in the bull market before rates went haywire. And they're actually below in many cases, they're below the lows they set in 2009 in the midst of the great financial crisis. So long story short, Fed's news was basically poison for the markets. It was poison for financials. And that's why you saw the Dow get clobbered for an 1,800-point loss after an 800-point rally on Friday. Those gains were given up intraday and so on. So I think there's, you know, it's a market that clearly faces challenges. It's a market that I think is coming to grips with the idea of a V-shaped recovery is more of a fantasy than reality. You know, you're seeing some economic indicators pick up somewhat off their extreme depths that they had in March and April when everything was shut down. But this isn't going to be just a get back to normal, get back to, you know, where things were kind of market or economy, in my opinion. And that's what I think things are starting to come to grips with here as we, you know, begin to let reality sink in a little bit.
So, Mike, to this whole point about the economy restarting and everyone saying, well, it's not going to get back to the way it was when we started this year, let's remember that the economy was in a slow growth at best mode anyway for the last almost decade. So if it's not even going to get back into that, at least slow growth, who knows? We're at least seeing a little bit of a rebound from that complete washout in March. The only difference is from the beginning of the year to now is central banks and governments have just become exponentially easier in their monetary policy. So is that enough to support at least the markets, even if the economy is going to be slow, which in all fairness, it was before COVID?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you and I have talked for a long time. If we go back to some of the discussions we had even last year, there was clear evidence that the economy was slowing before COVID. You know, back then, why were we seeing things like utilities and consumer staples vastly outperform things like financials and industrials? When does that happen? At the end of an economic cycle. It happens at every single time the economy slows and is heading into recession. Why did the yield curve start flattening in 2018 and then ultimately invert in 2019? Because it happens, and that's exactly what happens before every single recession. There are other things we could talk about, but, you know, the economy was already sort of struggling before COVID. Obviously, that was a massive shock to the system, and, you know, that's what left us where we are. And going forward, yes, the Fed and Treasury have been very aggressive in trying to stimulate the economy. But let's be honest, a lot of what they're doing is just stimulating markets temporarily. It's not really getting the aid out. I mean, the Fed's got this Main Street lending facility, which doesn't really, because of the because of the parameters of it, it doesn't even get down to Main Street businesses like, you know, laundromats and forests and things like that. It's for larger companies, but they wanted to call it Main Street just because it sounds good for PR purposes. It hasn't even made any loans. Meanwhile, the Fed's out there, you know, buying junk bonds from its buddies at BlackRock and so on, and junk bond ETFs, backstopping that market. Because why? The Wall Street people are begging them to. So once again, Wall Street's getting aid fast. Main Street's not really getting any aid. And, you know, and eventually they hope it just trickles down. And the aid that Main Street did get from the Treasury, not the Fed, but the Treasury, things like the $1,200 stimulus payments and the extra unemployment benefits, all the $1,200 checks have been written, or most of them have been written and distributed. And when it comes to the extra unemployment benefits, those are slated to end at the end of July. So, you know, it's been a tremendous decline, tremendous rally. We went from, like, bull market to bear market to short-term bull market, you know, in the span of 3 months. But I think now Wall Street's kind of settling down, assessing things a little bit more practically and looking at the longer-term picture. And, you know, it's not as promising. It's not as rosy as I think was being priced in, and that's kind of what's settling in now.
All right, Mike, we need to take a break for the radio station, but I am having you back on next segment, so everyone stick around. Mike and I are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNlife.com for products like Luminesse. The Luminesse anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNlife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Your week
weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to chat here with Mike Larson, editor of the Safe Money Report. Now, Mike, let's discuss this back and forth between central banks and governments. You just mentioned it in the first segment that these employment benefits or unemployment benefits are running out at the end of July in Canada. These run out at the end of this month. Even Powell said in his press conference, the Fed is doing all they can. It is on to the government to follow through with some of their spending programs. What do you think about the ball almost being thrown back into the government's court?
Well, let's be honest. I mean, monetary policy has pretty much been tapped out for a while now. I mean, once you get to that sort of ZERP area, zero interest rate policy, even if you ultimately resort to NERP, negative interest rate policy, which I think they'll do, it has a corrosive impact on the underlying economy. It doesn't actually benefit things much. Occasionally, you get some asset inflation, which helps the 1%, with, you know, 1% crowd that owns all the assets that doesn't need any help anyway, whereas Main Street gets nothing. In this kind of environment, monetary policy is no longer the answer, and it really hasn't been for a while. They're going to continue to tinker. The next thing will probably be this yield curve control, where they say, we're going to buy all the bonds we have to keep 10-year yields from rising above, you know, fill in the blank. Maybe they say 1% or something. Who knows? Is that going to make any difference? I mean, is there anybody on this planet Earth of ours that thinks that the level of interest rates in terms of them being where they are is too high? I mean, is that the problem the economy faces? Of course not. If interest rates were at 10% and they said all of a sudden we're going to cut them to 1%, of course that would have a huge economic impact. But if we go from, 70 basis points on a 10-year to 40 basis points, I mean, is that 30 basis points or one quarter of a percentage point going to really matter for Main Street or even Wall Street for that matter? No. So the Fed is really not the answer here. It's fiscal policy. It's got to come from the government. And there's one problem there that is actually people don't really acknowledge it, but when you talk about it, you get this aha moment when I have this conversation. One of the problems of the Fed, you know, sort of being in the driver's seat and doing all this stuff to prop up markets is that then the elected officials, Congress and so on, is less inclined to actually act on what it should do, which is fiscal aid. Think about it. One of the reasons why Congress acted so aggressively in March is because the markets were falling apart. Every day you wake up and the Dow's down 7%. That sort of inspires you to, you know, lock yourself in a room with other policymakers, come up with something and announce it and pass it in Congress very quickly. That's what we saw with the TARP vote even back in 2008. Why did the banks all get bailed out? Well, they had one vote and then it failed and the market tanked like 800 points that day, which a percentage decline. Then 2 days later, they passed on a second vote. Again, it's elected officials, Congress doesn't act unless forced to by the market. So when the Fed intervenes to sort of stabilize markets, it has a counterproductive impact. It makes election officials less likely to pass what we really need, which is fiscal aid. So I think, ironically, if you wanted to get through if your goal was to get through an extra sort of fiscal policy, you know, aid, more checks to Main Street and so on, as opposed to the Fed, let the markets tank, and then guess what? It'll get passed.
Yeah, very good point. The Fed and governments are very much reactive to major market moves, especially on the downside. Let's talk about some of the nuances within the U.S. markets this week. One focused on a lot of these Robin Hood traders and the stats that have come out that said a lot of that money that is being handed out to people out of jobs, or quite frankly just handed out in the U.S., is actually getting put into trading accounts, not of professional traders, but people trying to make some extra cash in these markets. And that's what helped drive up some of these bankrupt companies or companies that are going through bankruptcy proceedings by more than 100%, sometimes 300% in just a day or two. Obviously not sustainable, obviously just crazy market moves. But what's your thoughts on some of this data that has come out about these Robin Hood traders?
Let's be honest. I think when the government was writing these checks, they were probably hoping people would spend it on things like food or shelter or, you know, other help retail spending, things that would sort of help Main Street and so on. And you read some of these stories in the Wall Street Journal where these people take their checks and buy shares that are literally worthless. I mean, if you know anything about the way the bankruptcy process works, the equity is at the bottom of the stack. There's debt holders above you. I mean, the whole reason the company files for bankrupt is it can't pay off its bondholders, its debt, its, you know, subordinated debt, all these other things that in a reorganization, those bondholders and debt holders are the ones who get the keys to the company. The equity holders get wiped out. So you have people buying and trading shares that, you know, the SEC and the stock exchanges should actually just delist, but they won't because it makes them more money if this stuff stays trading actively. So that's a shame. Buying their shares is just gambling. I mean, and I guess if there's no sports to gamble on, you can't go to Vegas until recently because the casinos were closed. Sure, that's fine and dandy, I suppose. But that's a horrible precedent. And it really just kind of speaks to the fact that the money is being misused, the aid is being misused. And unfortunately, these people are going to, you know, they made a lot of money for a couple of days. Now they've probably given it all back and then some because the market started tanking. So I think it goes back to a broader point, which I always have this debate with people who just defend everything the Fed says and does because they, I don't know, that's how they operate. And they always try and poo-poo or talk down the moral hazard problem, basically the bailout mentality. If you bail out markets, you bail out investors, especially when they make very risky bets, what are they going to do? They're going to make more risky bets. I mean, why do you think, you know, people bought junk bonds a month and a half ago? Do they think that all of a sudden the credit fundamentals are great in the U.S., that you don't have bankruptcies at all-time highs? No, they're buying it because the Fed stepped in and bought it. What is a lot of that junk bond debt finance? Stupid mergers and acquisitions, corporate takeovers, wasteful stock buybacks. I mean, it's not going to productive investment, right? So that's the kind of stuff people are chasing simply because they've been bailed out repeatedly and they think they're going to get bailed out again. I mean, the Financial Times had a story quoting a guy who was trading in bankrupt companies who said, well, I'm doing this because of Daddy Powell, literally Daddy Powell. That was his way of calling the Fed chairman. And he said that's why he was buying shares of Hertz or whatever bankrupt company was quoted in the article. And, you know, you see that stuff and it just makes you shake your head. But the apologists for the Fed say, oh, who cares about moral hazard? It doesn't create problems. And it's disgraceful is what it is.
It is. Boy, is it ever. Let's wrap it up. Quick comment regarding the move at the end of the week, at least, into some of these more safe haven assets. Yes, Treasury's got to buy. The U.S. dollar made a move higher. Gold moved a little bit higher. Nothing too specific there. Gold's still stuck very much in this trading range. What's your thought on the sustainability and the end of the week moves into safe havens?
Sure. I mean, we talked a little bit earlier about what the interest rate outlook means for treasuries. Not only do I think you want to still own them, you probably want to buy more because if the yield curve is going to collapse and if we're going to have low rates forever, you want to be buying 10 and 30 year U.S. treasuries, especially when, believe it or not, on the global scale, they actually are higher yield than most other developed countries. So we're the high yield bond market at 1.4% on a 30 year. Gold, still like it, still like the safe haven appeal, still like the chaos insurance aspect to it. If we do end up in Europe, that's going to be a beneficial thing for gold as well, simply because you don't have the rate competition.
Hey, Mike, great chatting with you. Always a pleasure having you on the show. Again, follow Mike on Twitter, Real Mike Larson. I'll be chatting with you in another few weeks. So, hey, Mike, always great chatting with you. Thanks for your time. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You got it. Take care.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In the aftermath of the George Floyd killing in Minneapolis,
there's pressure and movement for different police procedures. Vice President Mike Pence talked about that in an interview with CBS News.
We're not going to defund the police. I mean, quite the contrary. I think what the president and I have in mind is action that would better equip police departments around the country with guidance and with training resources that'll make sure that what happened in Minneapolis never happens again.
And in Minneapolis, City Council Vice President Andrea Jenkins.
People have marched all over the world, all over the city of Minneapolis, and what they're saying to us is they want change. Not fix it, not reform, but change.
This is USA Radio News. Hundreds of residents were forced to flee northern parts of Tucson, Arizona, with very little notice as the Bighorn Fire raged near the Catalina foothills. Forecasters said a dangerous combination of weather conditions will keep the threat high for fires like Bighorn to spread further and for new fires to ignite. Arizona has the largest concentration of ongoing wildfires across the southwestern U.S., according to the National Wildfire Coordination Group. Other notable fires across the southwest include the Elizabeth Fire and the Lime Fire, both burning in Ventura County. The Lime Fire is the bigger of the two, with the mandatory evacuations in place, according to CAL FIRE. Meteorologists say additional fire threats should happen through next week. President Trump has chosen to delay his rally in Oklahoma by one day. He says he wants to respect a holiday called Juneteenth, which is important to Black Americans. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to continue to focus a little bit more on the U.S. equity markets as I am chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. Now, Dana, just to get everyone on the same page as us, we are recording this late in the trading day on Thursday, and the U.S. equity markets continue to sell off. The S&P right now down over 5%, the Dow down almost 1,600 points, right around 6% down, NASDAQ 5.5% down. Pretty drastic sell-off that is giving up a lot of the gains, all the gains so far just from this month. But the biggest question is this a major top? Are we going to see a prolonged downtrend here after a rally in the U.S. markets that went a lot longer than the vast majority of people thought? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's like anything, it's still up in the air. I will say that the key test for the bears, which we put out on our blog on Friday, last Friday, that essentially the market was hitting a make or break point for the bears, especially with the laggards, the former lagging sectors, which we thought on May 18th, we noted as a change in character from perhaps a short-term topping formation to a continuation pattern in those laggards. Things like small caps, financials, energy, Europe, stuff that had lagged. They opened the path to maybe one more catch-up strong catch-up type of a rally, and that's what we saw over the last 3 weeks or so. On Friday and Monday, they basically got to the point where it was make or break scenario for the bears. So either we fail there, those laggards fail there, or they blast off and we're into a new bull market. We might still be going parabolic, but they did fail right where they're supposed to. We did put our shorts back on in the Russell 2000 small cap and European indices, European markets on Friday and Monday. So we did fail right there. So basically that failure leaves the door open for, you know, the bear market scenario still. So leaves the scenario that this is just a bear market rally on the table, despite the fact that obviously there are winners out there, healthcare and technology, biotech, some of these other names that have gone to new highs or are testing new highs. So there will always be some winners and losers, but those lagging areas of the market were the key to watch for us, and they did fail right where they needed to fail. So that leaves, again, that bear market rally scenario on the table.
Okay, well, that it was very interesting over the last almost 2 weeks seeing those lagging sectors move. But, Dana, there's been a lot of chatter, too, about these Robin Hood traders, these retail traders that a lot of people are saying push these bankrupt stocks, or stocks going through bankruptcy proceedings up by 300-400% in some cases in just a day or two. What's your thoughts on when you see an environment like this where companies that are going through bankruptcy or making aggressive moves higher, understanding still that they're not anywhere close to their highs, but those are some very powerful moves from what seem like trash companies.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen these types of moves since the beginning of time. I mean, you have these flash in the pan type of bubbly moves where things go parabolic out of nowhere and then collapse and, you know, boom, that's history. You never hear from them again, you know, whether it's the weed stocks or, you know, some of the dot-com stuff back in the late 90s, 2000, some of the ridiculous names that went public back then. So you're always going to see these types of, you know, trendy, bubbly moves, and then their history, and then we'll forget about that type of a frenzy mania, and then we'll eventually move on to a different type of mania. So I would say that we were monitoring closely the put to call ratios over the last week or two, which did reach historically overly bullish, historically low levels in put to call, which historically were overly bullish and significant or indicative of significant risk in the market, which coincided obviously with that the Robin Hood traders and the day traders gone wild type of frenzy. So I will say it was to us alarming that we would hit such levels of frothiness coming right off of that historic crash that we saw, but it was without question some sort of a frenzied move that we saw in the last couple of weeks with the Robin Hood and the put to call ratios, and obviously that played right into the scenario of those lagging sectors running into resistance and failing right where they did. So a lot of things lined up there on the short side about 3 or 4 days ago, and that's coming to fruition now.
Now, how about a quick technical comment here when it comes to gaps in the chart for something like the S&P? The S&P has rallied or did rally pretty much right up to the lower part of that gap from February 24th when that waterfall decline started, and now on Thursday has just put in another gap. We don't know where the market's going to go and close the week and even start off next week, but how significant are these gaps in the chart?
Well, they can be significant. I would say they're more significant in individual stocks and probably less less popular indices. There's more gamesmanship that goes on with the S&P 500 and some of the more popular averages. So I think it's hard to game that type of thing. But I would say you're correct in the seeming abundance of gaps of late. And I think it's just indicative of volatile and emotional markets. So it's continues to be fraught with risk, risk to the downside if you're playing, if you're chasing stocks higher, and certainly risk to the upside if you're trying to short into these moves down. So risk both ways. It's a highly volatile market, and I think those gaps are certainly a telltale sign of that.
So what do you think about that, at least short-term downtrend in the gold miners? Even on a day like today, on Thursday, gold is up, but the miners have sold off hard with the markets. And all depending on what happens Friday, if Friday is a down day for something like GDX, it's going to be the fourth week in a row continuing this downtrend in GDX. Now, yes, I know this downtrend very much was needed. It's a natural correction. But what do you think about the time frame of this correction and already the drop of about 18%?
We're not concerned about it at this point. It's done nothing technically to get us off of where off of our bullish stance there. It's still, even into the weakness of last couple days, still well above where it bottomed out, where we bought it last Friday. So still, the overall technical picture is very strong on GDX and gold miners still. I will say on a huge down tape in the equity market, it's likely to get hit because they are, after all, still equities. You know, they're tied to the gold market, but they're still equities. So if the equity market gets hit, they might get hit. But relatively speaking, as long as they keep making higher lows and higher highs, then we'll still be interested in them.
All right, we will wrap it up here, Dana. Appreciate your comments this weekend. I'll chat with you in another couple weeks, but boy, oh boy, an interesting end to the week already, and now it's going to bring a whole new question mark for June, and if that run has just fully petered out. Dana, thanks for your time today. Have a great rest of your weekend.
All right, my pleasure, Corey.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only $6.
Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic, latex-free, and made for stress-free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. $1 billion businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. You're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
All right, everybody, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are getting an update from Great Bear Resources and the president and CEO, Chris Taylor. Great Bear is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GBR and on the OTCQX under the symbol GTBAF. Now, Chris, I wanted to bring you on this weekend show because Great Bear issued two news releases this week, both outlining drill results from the LP fault, and both news releases, the first one on June 8th, the next one on June 11th, had the same quote in it, saying that the LP fault drilling has just yielded the highest grade and widest interval drilled to date. And that happened on June 8th, and then followed up very quickly on June 11th. Some of these headline numbers, about 30.5 grams per ton gold over almost 12.5 meters on the June 11th headline number, a little over 31 grams per ton gold over about 20.5 meters. Chris, instead of diving into some of these individual drill results, give us a big picture understanding of what these newer high-grade results mean for this overall Dixie project.
Yeah, sure, Corey. I'm happy to talk about that. Obviously, some great news this week, some very high-grade numbers coming out of the LP fault. And I think the more important thing, and I'll get into the individual intervals in a sec, but the point was all the drill holes that we put out have, like half an ounce to an ounce plus material. And it's really interesting because you just don't see that. In this day and age, you know, the average grade of a gold deposit around the world is something like a gram, gram and a half, or sub-gram even, with a lot of the deposits being brought on that are less than 1 gram per ton gold, because it's widely perceived that the high-grade discoveries are in the history books. But here we are right at surface. You know, we put out some really good numbers. We're drilling along segments of this big multi-kilometer, like, the LP fault. We've got drill holes with gold in them over 11 kilometers right now. And we're drilling off this tight grid along about 5 kilometers. But this is such a big target that we found it about a year ago. And that means we've got now about 115 holes completed into this thing. But there still are huge gaps in the drilling just because the target is so enormous that it's taking months and months to even put the first test holes into them. So there was a gap in the drilling about 150 meters long. We put a drill fence along that, announced first this past week, and that was one of the highlight holes in there, again, was over 30 grams per ton gold over 12 and a half meters right near surface. Like, that gold zone goes right to surface. And then we stepped over another 50 meters from that, and we hit, over 30 grams per ton gold over 20 meters. And the full interval, like, if you think about the mineralization, the gold mineralization that didn't have gaps in it, when we calculated that, and this, it almost blows your mind, but we had almost 15 grams per ton gold over 45 meters. And, you know, this is within a couple hundred meters of surface in a gold zone where we saw gold right as soon as we got into the bedrock surface. So right up at the surface, we saw this gold. So that means you have high-grade gold, you know, these huge widths of high-grade gold, this gold system going right to the surface. It's just, there are no current parallels that we're aware of in the exploration space with other companies drilling something that's that wide, that high grade, and that shallow. It's just an unprecedented combination. And as you know, and your listeners know, I mean, this project is located just outside of a major mining town right beside the highway. I mean, it's absolutely incredible.
So, Chris, just remind everybody how big this deposit, this mineralization is looking, total distance for this LP fault.
Well, the target that we staked is over 20 kilometers long on our property. We staked our project. It looks like a big rectangle, effectively, because it covers the entire 20-plus kilometer strike length of the intersection of that fault zone with the Greenstone Belt, our Dixie Greenstone Belt in our area. It's a separate Greenstone Belt in that region that we control the entire intersection of that big fault with that thing. We've drilled it now. We have gold in drill holes over 11 kilometers, which is sort of mind-blowing when you think about the scale of that. But the good part of the system, the best part of the system that we've seen so far, is this central 4 to 5 kilometer long area where we're doing a grid drill program over 300 holes this year, quite shallow drilling just to test it out from surface to about 500 meters depth. Remember that most of the mines in that area drill down to or mine down to 1.5 to 2.5 kilometers. They're very deep-seated mines. We're only doing the shallow near-surface portion of it just to understand it initially. But that by itself, that 4 to 5 kilometer area, it's one gold zone. And that is the largest contiguous gold zone that we know about in Canada being explored right now. And this is what that these results are coming back from.
So, Chris, you just keep on coming out with good drill results, high-grade drill results, and showing now a lot of this consistency throughout this even 4 to 5 kilometer distance, but you still have a lot of exploration. The company still hasn't put out a resource because of all the exploration that you still see in front of you. How do you go about further packaging this company, this project, for a potential takeover from a major?
Well, you know, Corey, it's one of those things, like, the further that we get into the project, just the more you like it. I mean, there's nothing not to like here. And, you know, a resource for us, it's not out of a desire not to put a resource together. It's just that nobody else is drilling a system this big. So, you know, we only found the LP fault, this big multi-kilometer target, 1 year ago today, and we've only got 115 drill holes into it. To do a resource into a target that size is going to take more than 300 drill holes, and even with multiple drill rigs drilling at 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, month after month, it still takes you over a year to drill off that initial resource. And then that's only the shallow one from surface to 500 meters. You have to then do 500 to 1,000 meters, then 1,000 meters to 1,500 meters just to make it comparable. That's causing that resource to take a long time to put together, not the lack of desire to do it. And what we look at is we keep saying, we know that discoveries like ours are not typically operated by the junior companies that find them. We totally get that. History is a bit of a guide, but we're not in a rush to sell this project. There's so much value that we're unlocking on it every day. Like, if you follow our news release progress, if you follow the growth of the company, every month that goes by, every day that goes by, Great Bear is worth more. And that means for our shareholders, the longer we drill the project, the more gold that we find, the more the value increases. Today, we're at over a $600 million market cap. A year ago, we would have been about $200 million. So we've tripled our value inside of a calendar year. And I don't see why that process, why that growth process would stop when we've only explored a small fraction of the project so far. So you've got all the drilling on these big targets, and you have the regional potential on a 22-kilometer-long project, which is now known to host a number of gold zones. I'm sure we're going to find more stuff, too.
Yeah, hey, fair enough. Just this week, hey, when you come out with back-to-back news releases of the highest grade over the longest widths, there's no reason to be in a rush to sell this thing. Plus, you guys just closed a $33 million bought deal. Give us a little insights in terms of how many drills are on the ground, what is on tap for news flow.
Well, Corey, like you said, I mean, with that placement closing, we finished with, we had about $53 million in the bank. And that's enough money for us to drill all the way into 2022. So 2 years from now, before we would have to go back to the market, like that means we're not issuing more shares. We do not have to issue more shares between now and then. So the extra value of hundreds of drill holes, like we have funding in hand now to drill something like our guess would be several hundred drill holes, not 300, several hundred. And it's just unprecedented. So hundreds of thousands of meters funding currently in hand. One can only imagine what the company and the valuation will look like after that process. So anyway, right now on site, we have three drill rigs operating because with the COVID-19 situation, we basically had to get rid of all the non-local labor. And with local labor, Red Lake-based people, that's what we had the staffing to support. But by the end of this month, we'll be back up to four drill rigs. And then next month, we'll be back up to the five that we had before. And of course, the more we drill and the more we find, it's obvious that over time, the rig count is going to increase as well. So you'll end up with dedicated drill rigs that are consistently drilling off various zones. That's going to be a process, I think, you know, and this is the ultimate forward-looking statement, but I think that will deliver a stream of results into the market that it has very few parallels globally in terms of what exploration programs are delivering.
All right, Chris, we're going to wrap it up here. I appreciate you taking some time on this weekend show. If anybody has any follow-up questions regarding Great Bear, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Keep those emails coming. I love hearing from every one of you, our listeners. I do my best to get back to every email, and I follow up with the companies when you send me in those questions. Chris, I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. Everybody who's listening, thanks again for tuning in to the weekend show. And throughout the week, all those company updates and daily editorials. Everyone, have a great rest of your weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Attention gardeners, if you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.